Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots as we kick off BattleBots Season 5.0 with the first two episodes. This is now two episodes over 2 weeks as opposed to two halves of one episode.
Okay.
Because these are actually airing weekly now as opposed to two a week.
Right.
Which is it's really weird because you get the impression with this specific episode that there is a degree of, oh, we've been given a bit more budget to do this series. And see, when you look at the... Right. I know traditionally one of the things I've done is like gone through all the matches that have taken place off TV. But, for example, the second battle that we see, the robot we see fighting, Code Black, has had four matches beforehand.
Jeez.
It was hypothetically possible that there were robots that could have had five matches before they made it to the... So, in all three tournaments, it looks like it's the round of 32. Yeah, it looks like it's the round of 32 that basically the seeds, if you like, join the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like that's been similar to what's happened in previous seasons.
Yeah.
Like, the big robots that have always been on television buys, essentially, to...
Weirdly, one robot that's called Snowflake gets put in the round of 16... Well, it's not even the round of 64, it's the round before the round of 32. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. There are just these rant... Look, there's another one in the middleweight tournament where, for some reason, Psychotron just gets a bye in the round of 32. But I genuinely don't understand. It's the one issue I do have. As much as I enjoy the actual battles, there is just so much that happens off-screen. And it's, again, right, a lot of the matches we'll be covering today took place in the round of 32. I think there's one or two that are in the round of 64.
Yep, well, this is exactly why I don't look at these brackets and I am just calling what I see on television, because I feel like I would have a complete aneurysm trying to figure this stuff out. And if you're at home, also would have a quick look. Take a look on runamuck.tech.
Which is a great resource for getting any tournament results.
Yep. Like, there's just so many, like, just for the lightweight tournament, just on its own, it's just like, there's nothing. Slam Dancer versus Osiris. And then the winner of that moves on. Then nothing. Whirl Whip takes on Undertow. Nothing. Evil Squirrel versus Bot Product. And it just, so like, there's no kind of rhyme or reason as to why some robots need to advance to get into the next round. And then, like, you look, and then there's a series of robots that all get buys, including Firestorm. I don't think that's our Firestorm.
It's not.
Hmm. And yeah, it's these tournaments just make zero sense.
Yep. However, what we do get is, after last week where we saw Razor's greatest triumph, we kick off with Warhead in the yes. round of 64 in the heavyweight tournament. Oh, before that we get the first skip, and it's at this point I go, oh no, we're going to get more of this shit, aren't we?
Yep.
Because this, right, I probably won't mention them because I just tune out every time it happens. It seems that between every single match, we get a comedic skit. And like an early 2000s comedic skit.
Yeah, which were barely funny at the time. And definitely aren't funny now. Because some of them really, some of them really show their age. I took note of one of them because I did get a slight, you know, side mouth, like half mouth smile at it. But I'll very quickly run over it when we get to it.
Yep.
But for, I mean, for as much as we give BattleBots shit about their skits, we're starting off this episode hot when we have Warhead versus Darkstar 2J.
Darkstar 2J is who cares.
Yep. So why don't we explain Warhead?
So Warhead is a wedge-shaped robot. It has a scorpion's tail. It has two wings that are kind of shaped like Razor's beaks. And the main weapon is an enormous spinning disc.
Yeah. It looks like Warhead attached Ziggo onto the front of the robot.
And it hits like Ziggo too.
Yeah. And so the arms, I'm pretty sure, are obviously they're Shreemex. But like they flail them about in victory, because this match does not last long. Darkstar comes in and bits go sailing immediately. And after only 59 seconds of fight, Darkstar is completely immobilized and is done for. The only hope they had was the one very brief moment where Warhead hit Darkstar so hard that Warhead fell on its side. So the arms brought it back, and that was it. The interesting thing with Warhead is obviously they are in some of the earlier seasons of the BattleBots reboot. So this will not be the only time that we see Warhead.
One thing that does surprise me actually with Warhead, why didn't we see a variant of this robot in Robot Wars? Okay, I could see maybe not for season 6, but if you were building a robot for series 7, like, just call it, I don't know, Razor Face or something, I don't know.
Razor Face, Screw Face.
Razor 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Or like Razor Sharp or something.
Yeah.
So we get our first skit with the driver of Ziggo being a sumo.
And he defeats the sumo by spinning in place.
Yes, be like your robot. Be like your robot.
Laugh, Chris. Laugh.
It It's bad when I got more genuine laughs out of that episode of Big Bang Theory we watched than I'm getting out of these skits.
Do not remind me of the Big Bang Theory episode.
So this builds up to Ziggo's first fight in season 5 of BattleBots.
Oh, this is very much a case of, we recorded the skit beforehand and we've realized we have to get it out of the way now.
So we have Ziggo taking on Code Black.
So Ziggo, the full body spinner, taking on Code Black, which is a bar spinner.
I think this would probably be the first definition of the undercutter.
Yeah. Oh no, there are bits where you can see it like bouncing off the floor.
Because the thing is, I must have just looked away when they announced Code Black. So see, when the match started, I thought Code Black was just a boring-ass box robot. And they started talking about, oh, the spinner is moving so fast you can't see it. And I'm like, what, Ziggo? No, you can see that. And then all of a sudden, the two of them collide, and Ziggo goes flying, and it's like, oh, okay. Because the match starts, and Code Black gets itself stuck on the entrance ramp. So that wasn't a very good start. Ziggo helps him off by bumping into him, and I thought, okay, here we go. This is just another big old Ziggo victory. And then all of a sudden, Ziggo sails across the arena. And I was still confused at this point as to what happened. And there's sparks everywhere, like, from Code Black. And so Code Black just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting. And then suddenly, Ziggo just stops. Like, the spinning dome stops first. And then very quickly after that, the robot just stops completely, and just smoke is everywhere, and all of us, just as quickly as it started, Ziggo, the 2-time defending lightweight champion, is done, and is gone from Battle.
It's a bit like when you got the the next time BattleBots appears, it'll be heavyweights only. So, yeah. Yeah, this is it. This is the last hurrah of Ziggo. Which is incredible.
Yep, the last time we see Ziggo, it gets knocked out in about a minute and a half.
This is up there with when Son of Waiachi was like, oh yeah, and Son of Waiachi is back, and boom. Oh, that was Son of Waiachi anyway.
But first, why don't you buy the BattleBots Greatest Hits album?
Laugh, Grizz. Laugh.
See, this was the one that gave me a bit of a side smile. Some of the BattleBots song names, I was just kind of went, huh. Okay, I didn't clog this one on my first watch. Oh my god, don't let Son of Waiachi go down on me.
To shreds, you say? To shreds, you say?
Alright, this is a 10 out of 10 segment. Because the whole time it's a massive close-up of Carmen Electra and a very low-cut dress dancing about. And so, you know, points for that. But the fact that I missed that now, and I've clocked that in genuine real time, don't let Son of Waiachi go down on me.
Also, I do appreciate one thing. Carmen Electra, compared to her other two interviews, the other two interviewers in this show, generic interviewer 1 and 2, mm-hmm. Carmen Electra has more enthusiasm in this skit than the pair of them show in the rest of the show combined.
At least that fucking shoe isn't back this year.
Oh no, these guys are worse than the shoe.
No, no, no. No one is worse than the shoe.
Okay.
In my
How
opinion.
How have we got even bothered to know his name?
I just, like, I seen him once and goes, you have like, less personality than a shoe, and then that's became his name since then. And I'm glad he's not back. Because you had Tony Rock here, and... Okay, I'm going to ask the question, and please don't assume this is racist. Is this Chris Rock's brother? Or did they just conveniently have the same surname?
Probably just the same surname. I don't know. I kind of just thought, oh, you're obviously very enthusiastic to be here.
I feel like he gave a bit more enthusiasm than the other did, but, like, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, at least Carmen Electra knows her kind of place here.
And her
knows that she's... Yeah, exactly. And she at least does that well. Like, is it the kind of thing that you kind of want from this TV show? No, not really. Like, but... I mean, she's there, she's doing it, and she's looking good while doing it, so I appreciate it.
Yep.
Steel Rain versus Son of Waiachi. Son of Waiachi has wheels now.
How? Oh, and this is in the round of 64 in the super heavyweight division.
The super heavyweight division?
The super heavyweight division. Because
not what you said the first time.
I know it wasn't.
Sure. No, for the rest of this season I want to call it the Soupy Heavyweight Division. Just every robot is just filled with soup.
Actually it's the round of is it the round of 32? Cause it said on Wikipedia this is in the round of 64.
Mm-hmm.
To
be honest, I needed to close down those that
this
tournament
is in
tree.
This is round in 32.
Yeah, I needed to close that tournament tree because it was giving me a headache because I could not figure out it for the life of me.
No, the 16 matches. It's the round of 32. Because even though it has not won a super heavyweight battle yet, it still got seeded.
Hmm. Especially after its appearance last year where it exploded.
Yeah.
So, tell us, what does Steel Rain look like?
Steel Rain is a four-wheeler robot with a lawnmower weapon. And we proceed
to have...
Big
beefy tires.
Somehow, in a match with a full-body spinner, we proceed to have the dullest match I can imagine with a full-body spinner robot.
It's, yeah, because Steel Rain had absolutely no offense. Like, it just kind of drove into the weapon until it stopped living anymore.
Yeah.
The best part of this match was when it ended and then cuts to a guy in the crowd that has a Son of Waiachi hat with the little triangle thing on top of it, and then he goes to spin it and knocks it off his head.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep, that's been immortalized on TV now.
Yep.
So Arge, I think his name was, one of your dull commentators, interviews the Team Steel Rain team, and the dude he interviews, like, you would think that, like, Son of Waiachi, like, legitimately owed him money. Like, he is fuming that he lost.
Uh-huh.
And, like, gives the... An interview almost as dull as the fight that he just had.
Absolutely.
So it's like, oh, okay, so I'm holding a piece of your robot. Yep, How do you feel? Shit. Do you think you're going to come back? Meh. Brilliant. Nailed it.
Absolutely.
Sore loser match.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it can be difficult, obviously, but still, like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's, at least try and have a decent interview. Like, you gotta remember, like, okay, if you're a bit upset that you lost a match, like, also remember, you still need to make some captivating television. Don't be a sourpuss. We move on to Team Mobius and their VT.
Oh, fuck. So, as I think it was you that actually pointed it out, let's just get up on, because this is a round of 64 in the middleweight tournament.
Uh-huh.
So, when this match has happened, Mobius has had 4 matches. This is the 5th match.
And a little bit of spoilers for our programming later on. Yes, once again, we will be doing the unaired matches episode, because a bunch of unaired matches from Season 5 are available on YouTube, so keep an eye out for that closer to the end of the season. And I hope you like Mobius, because he is in at least 4 of them.
I mean, it's very much a gimmick bot. And the gimmick isn't even the actual robot. It's the team. They come out in, like, massive robes. They all have. I think from the skit, I'm wondering if they're professional scare actors.
I think they are. Like, this says that they work at Skull Dungeon or something like that. So they're meant to be like, it's like one of those spook houses where, like, people jump out at you and chase you and all that kind of stuff. So I think, like, that is their genuine, like, jobs. You see, like, people dressed up and kind of, they've got, like, swords, and they're all, like, all kind of scary. They look like members of Lordi that won Eurovision in 2006. And who I see?
No, Lordi had much better makeup.
Okay, one of the guys did. One of the guys, like, looks like Lordi. The rest of the team, not so much. But one of the guys they showed that clearly works there looked a bit like him. Nevertheless, also, I seen Lordi when they supported Sabaton.
Nice.
And Baby Metal were there as well. Japanese kawaii metal. You seriously never heard Give Me Chocolate? Like, that song went viral when it came out.
I probably have, I just don't recognize it.
Yeah. Well, that's your homework for after we're done here today.
Okay,
so Mobius brings out, Team Mobius brings out the robot in a coffin. That's, I mean, say what you will, that's pretty badass.
I want to see the full entrance.
Yeah, let's hope that maybe one of these unaired fights, we get, like, the full entrance. Because I feel like it was very, like, it cut to it as they opened the coffin. And it's like, come on, you could have, like, taken, like, I see, instead of doing the VT, just have them do, like, a whole Undertaker-style entrance where they all walk in, like, really slowly with a coffin and then reveal the robot that way, instead of having to do this VT. Again, a VT for a team that then go on to lose this match.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. This is a case of, we've recorded a VT for these guys! And, Fine.
I guess we'll put it here. It's not like you're coming back. So, the match, Mobius versus the new ankle biter.
Yes, the new ankle biter, which looks a lot like the old one.
Yeah, but its weapon is much more prominent than it used to be. Instead of just having a wedge with, like, the, you know, like a millimeter of a saw blade sticking out of it, they now have a new spinner that goes dead. It goes dead the second it collides with Mobius.
Yep, and yeah, so this bright green full body spinner, you're like, oh, this is domination. It's completely in control. There's no way that anyone is going to stop. Oh, it got killed by a kill saw. And then, again, for the second in three time in 3 weeks, we get a commentator's going, why aren't you attacking? Why aren't you attacking?
Because Mobius isn't moving. That's
yeah,
why.
So why would we?
Like, yeah, let's run face first into this giant fucking disc that's spinning when it should be getting counted out because it's not moving.
Yeah.
I mean, spinning and movement are two completely different things, I suppose.
Let us ram into the robot that is spinning at incredible pace, because that can't possibly go wrong.
So at the end of the fight, like, there is this massive fucking dink at the top of Mobius that you didn't notice while it was spinning. That clearly came from the one shot that Anklebiter got in before its weapon got killed.
Yep.
So, okay, so like the Anklebiter weapon does actually do damage. So, good for it.
Yep.
So Anklebiter wins and advances to the next round. Will we see that match? I don't know.
Probably not. So just whilst I'm remembering it,
okay. Also, Tony Rock is the brother of Chris Rock. Boom.
That might be the only reason he was hired.
Yeah. Hey, do you think we can get Chris Rock? We can get Tony Rock.
But Will Smith won't slap the shit out of him. Oh well.
I mean, debatable.
If you want a... Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TekNoAxe. What we get is a shitty documentary on Backlash and the presence of Gary Coleman for some reason. As Backlash takes on Burning Metal, which is a robot with a kind of an inverted bar spinner. So one of the bar spinners that's spinning like it's a wheel. Rather than like the traditional formation. Not that it matters, because Backlash leaves them a pile of Burning Metal at the end. I love this look of Backlash.
Is he going to make it on the TV this year?
Well, we just saw it, so yes.
Where?
Backlash.
Yeah, when did we see Backlash on TV?
We're literally talking about a Backlash match.
No, we're not.
Backlash versus Burning Metal.
Did I miss a fucking match?
It's the first match in episode 2.
You motherfucker. I watched the wrong goddamn episode.
Oh no! So it turns out that Grizz cannot read, and he has actually watched BattleBots season 5, episode 10. So literally, he is going to be watching the episode as we record.
Yep, that's I know I've had some bullshittery before where it's like my notes haven't saved, but I've watched the right episode and just kind of needed to blag my way through. But this is going to be a new experience. This is going to be live as it happens reactions. So we have Backlash and we have... This is the point where you say his opponent's name.
His opponent is Burning Metal, not that it matters.
I love how it's called Burning Metal, despite the fact it's made out of plastic.
Oh, as I said, I mean, the robot is left a pile of burning metal by the end.
Yeah, but to go back to your earlier point, yeah, this new look of Backlash is pretty badass. It's clearly evolved, finally. The one thing with it is, would you not want to put, like, a set of caster wheels on the other side so that if it gets flipped over, you can still run the other way up?
Well, apparently this robot is invertible. They do say in the episode that the robot's invertible.
Yeah, it's clearly from the way that it's set up now, it can be inverted. So, like, because that was obviously their main problem, was the second Backlash got flipped upside down, it was done. But it's just the way that, I suppose, like, it's got the curve, so I guess the little groove that's there hoists up. There is not much to this fight whatsoever as Backlash comes in and...
It is literally a, welcome to the episode, here's something going boom!
Yeah, they're at least good with that by finding a good match to start you off with, where it's like, okay, here we go, here's about 30 seconds.
Since they're not going to show you the whole tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next match is in the middleweight. It is a round of 32 match. And it is a wee, a willy, a wedgie versus Little Drummer Boy. Now, Wee Willy Wedgie is a wedge bot, and pre-match it is wearing a pair of Y-fronts.
Yeah, I was going to say that those are pants.
Now, this does not get worn in the actual match itself, for this is a...
Entanglement
weapon, which, to be fair, one of the slightly better skits, if it wasn't for the obvious... sexy schoolgirl look that Carmen Electra's wearing throughout it, is
okay,
these are the weapons that are legal in BattleBots.
Yeah.
Though, the problem is when you put Carmen Electra in schoolgirl clothes, there's going to be a percentage of the audience isn't going to hear what she's actually saying.
Uh-huh. This is why Carmen Electra should not be used to help describe things, because people get distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wedge. Wee Willy Wedgie. It dies at one point and then seemingly starts to intermittently come back to life and then die again and then come back to life again. And then just decides to sit on Little Drummer Boy's head for the rest of the match. Look at me, I'm wearing a hat.
Yep.
It's just, at this point in BattleBots Season 5, like, you really need to just get something more than generic Wedge as a weapon.
I mean, it is. It's a drum spinner versus a wedge bot. It's not a lot. It's a death by a thousand cuts match.
Yeah. And then death by wearing you as a hat.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, Little Drummer Boy, that robot looks incredible.
Yeah, it just definitely so looks. It definitely looks like it's been worked on since like last season and has definitely been revitalized. It's been revised, it's been built better, and it looks a lot meaner than it did.
Yeah.
Oh
So,
my God. There's Carmelo Lurcher dressed as a scorekeeper.
meanwhile, we also get the heavyweight round of 32, with Mo versus Stealth Terminator. Stealth. Now, Mo in this match, they do like a warm-up skit for Mo where they imply that he stalks Bill Dwyer.
If there was a robot that was going to stop me, I probably wouldn't want it to be Mo.
With a spinner the size of it, no wonder. That
This
spinner is enormous.
the thing with Mo is, see, every time I see it, I always look at it and go, this isn't a sturdier looking robot. Like, it looks like the blade's about to fall off any second, and then most of the time it knocks his opponents the fuck out, like quite handedly. And it started to do that for most of this fight, right up until the weapon dies. And the thing with its opponent is it does look a little bit like Panic Attack. Like,
It's very
obviously.
much a Panic Attack look. It's a slow flipper. It's black. It is black and instead of yellow. But yeah, there is a degree of a Panic Attack
Yeah,
look to it.
it's got the side skirts instead of a lifting forks, it's got like the flipper, but then it also has the giant yawning self-righting mechanism. Like, if you were to tell me this was a Kim Davis creation, I wouldn't say that you were wrong, or I would believe you more specifically. Because the beginning of this fight is Mo does what Mo does best. It spins that weapon and starts ripping stuff off. But see, the second that the weapon dies on Mo, this is when it starts to get into trouble. It starts to like there was a good point where the flipper weapon gets like kind of jammed in the sort of Mo weapon area, which was so that kind of like hoisted it up, and then like throughout the rest of the fight it's just taken over.
And then, right at the end, Mo's weapon comes back. And, I mean, Stealth Terminator does a great job at first, rams it spinner first into the wall, just doing everything it can. And then the fight ends with this massive, nasty blow from Mo. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a properly nasty one. Match goes to the judges, and it's 24 to 21 to Stealth Terminator.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with that. I thought Mo might have still had it, especially that blow right at the very end. I thought might have just clinched it.
Yeah, that's the same for me. It's that it would probably have been very, very close, but that last blow for me is actually the bit I'm like, no, that's the killer. That to me would have been enough to swing it that way. Anyway, we've only got one match left, and
So
it's
we
the
got,
Slap 'Em Silly
yeah.
Boys, where we find out actually Slap 'Em Silly, not much of the robot is the robot they bought off eBay. They did rebuild the thing, so it mainly is the internals that were the same.
Oh, okay.
So we get a Slap 'Em Silly skit. And then round of 32 match, Slap'em Silly versus Rambite 2.0, which is kind of like, how to put this? Do we have, I want Son of Waiachi. We have Son of Waiachi at home. This is Son of Waiachi at home.
Yeah. It's weird because it's shaped like Frenzy. But obviously instead of the axe, you have the overhead weapon that dies almost instantly.
Yeah.
And also Slap'em Silly looks bigger this year, I'd say, than previous years.
And one thing that is very clear, whilst they may have bought the robot, they have definitely done a lot of practice with it. Because the driving in this match is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's another wedge butt, but like sometimes, you know, wedge butts can do well if they're driven properly.
Absolutely.
Rambo keeps trying to speed its weapon up. It eventually gets a good one at one point, and then the second that it does, it collides with Slap'em Silly, and it gets flipped over. But then it somehow manages to very incredibly self-right itself.
Yeah, it's brilliant. The self-right is fantastic.
Whoa! Jesus Christ!
Oh, you're watching it live.
Yeah, like, these are live reactions right now. Rambit goes over one of the kill saws while it's spinning up and goes sailing across the arena.
And Slap'em Silly at this point goes, oh, we've got him. And they start feeding him to everything, to the pulverizers, to the kill saws. And it's SES does a phenomenal job. To the point where they don't even bother to leave us in suspense and let us hear the judge's decision at the end of the fight. We just get Calm and Electra going, and they won!
Oh, well. I mean, because like, that was the thing. Is like, I feel like there was a few points. See when Rambite's weapon started getting back up to speed, I thought, oh. Well, they managed to fix whatever the problem was. Like, they're in with a chance here. But the second that Kelsa shot, like, it's like the weapon's all bent. So it's clearly done this time. It's very like that time Mahler got hit with the Kelsa and it just wrecked their weapon. Like, it was all disjointed. But, like, that was a fun little fight, to be honest with you. Even if it was just Rambite just going all over the place and flailing about. Yeah, good for Slap'em Silly, I guess. Like, I agree with, like, them realizing that they have their chance here and then just using all the kill saws and the spikes around the arena to their advantage by the end of the fight. Like, they knew what they were doing.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's so that is the end of our first 2 weeks of BattleBox.
And next week I promise to watch the right episode.
Yep. And the actual battles, you know what? That's interesting. They're very good. I can see why they're kind of skipping over to certain parts. This is the problem, is when you've got... when you're not covering the tournament as a tournament,
uh-huh,
the amount of time that you spend doing skits when you could have just done like an actual proper... when you could actually do, and this is what happened in this round.
Yeah, see, even if it was just a case of we looked, like, if you just started it from the round of 32.
Yeah.
And even if you acknowledged we're not going to show every fight, but then showed maybe, like, a knockout highlight or something of, like, say, fucking Mo's last fight to advance to the fight they had against Predator. Like, just like, oh, this is how Mo got this far. Bang, bang, bang. Like, a quick, like, 5 seconds, and then it's like, okay, and this is how Predator got here. Do-do-do, flip, or whatever. Just to, like, kind of show that, like, because this is the weird thing with that is there's an awful lot of just matches happening, and there's no explicable reason as to why a lot of these are happening half the time.
Yeah, it is just like, and now we're going to have this match in the tournament. What? That's like in the previous round to a match that we've already shown in this tournament.
Yeah. Like a match from like the super heavyweight division like happened last week in the round of 16, and then now we're going to show one that's in the round of 32, and it's like, why are we doing this? Like, can you not at least try and do this in some sort of chronological order in a way that if you look at the tournament brackets, it makes a bit more sense.
Yeah.
But I know it's the same argument that we've always had with BattleBots in the old season, which obviously they definitely managed to rectify in the newer ones.
Yeah.
And obviously, I suppose it kind of helps in the newer ones, considering the fact that there's only one weight class, but
Yeah, so it's a lot
there.
easier to track, and do you know
Yeah.
what, and particularly since it's like, oh no, the tournament doesn't start until there's only 32 robots in the tournament.
I know it's like by all means, like if you're gonna have like the preliminary matches and you want to make like new robots kind of work their way up, like that's fine. And if you maybe want to do like you've got your hit of the week at the end of the week, like see instead of that, just be like, oh, let's get you caught up in some of the other matches, and then maybe do like a couple of other matches there, like. So we had Ziggo in his first fight against Code Black. Like, show us Code Black knocking out some of these people in his previous matches. Like, this is how we got here. Like, there's tons
Do you know
of.
what the problem is? And it's funny because it's the exact same thing I've been talking about with Hypnodisc a couple of weeks ago, with this. They are not presenting this as a tournament, which it
No.
is. They're kind of doing Monday Night Raw, but trying to have a tournament at the same time without telling you what's going on in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway that I'm trying to say. I'm just saying it in a lot more words. You're presenting this as a tournament without telling us about the tournament, and then it's just. Like, the biggest example for that was last year when Big B went into the final of his tournament, and we had never even knew that robot existed until it goes, this is the final of the middleweight division or whatever weight class it was under. And it goes, okay, then why is this the first time we're seeing this robot? If you'd done, like, because I think even in season three, they did a lot of, here are some of the other matches that happened. And then at least showed highlights, and then they stopped doing that.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right there.
Yeah, just, there's easier ways to do this, and see if you dropped the skits and took that time to maybe show highlights of other matches, this would have been a hell of a lot better. But because, okay, yeah, we get it, it's on Comedy Central, but that doesn't mean you need to try and be funny.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, at least the matches are good. That's we could at
Oh, the
least.
mat as the matches in this are better than the matches in Robot Wars. It's actually it's amazing. Right, look, a little bit of kayfabe breaking. We've recorded this the same week that we recorded the last two episodes of season 5 of Robot Wars,
Okay.
and it has absolutely shown up to me the problems fundamentally with BattleBots as a series.
Yeah.
Because relative it, to, because as I said, the actual event is better than Robot Wars.
Yeah, I agree. It has everything to easily be the better show, but it relies too much on other dumb bullshit.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be able to enjoy more of this dumb bullshit next week.